I'd like for you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews. As we have stated now for a few weeks coming into this brand new year, it is the year of beginning. Fresh start. Everybody say fresh start. You know what? That's the good thing about God is He always is ready to give people fresh starts. No matter how good it might have been, it can always get gooder. Right? If it was not good, well, it can change. It can turn. And you got to have hope in the Word. You got to look at God like He's ready to act on your behalf at any time. And He will. And He does. And whatever His Word says, that's what He'll do. Whatever His Word declares, again, if we can see it in there, then these promises belong to us as believers. So I encourage you, you're on the right track. You're running the race. And this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to read out of the 12th here a couple of scriptures, but I want to admonish you in these things because if we're going to have a year of opportunity, and we are because the Spirit of God has spoke to us about opportunities. He spoke to us about having new beginnings and fresh start and this fullness of the blessing to come upon our life. So tonight I'm going to talk about the enemies of our faith. Maybe tonight and next Wednesday night, because you know, if it takes faith to appropriate the hand of God or to activate our blessing, our fresh start, these opportunities that God has spoken to us about. How many know that the devil is just lying in wait? He's ready to rob you and keep you in a box. And so tonight we need to talk about things for a moment that stops us from receiving God's best. Enemies to our faith, because we know that without faith we can't please God. Right? And so we need to look at these things from the Word standpoint and things that would keep us in a box. We're believing for a break. I don't know about you. I'm believing God for a breakout. Amen. Not just breakthrough, but breakout. Supernatural breakout. Because we serve a God of abundance. A God who is, you know, more than willing to show Himself strong on behalf of those who love Him. The Bible says that His eyes are going to and fro the whole earth, looking to whom He may show Himself strong to. And every time I read it, I just lift my hand and say, "Here I am, Lord." You know, because He's got some eyes that are scanning like a radar scope. Praise God. He's looking for people whose hearts are perfect towards Him. I didn't say perfect people. But you know what? We're to strive for that perfection. Amen? Well, here's a whole chapter, and I don't have time to read the whole chapter of Hebrews 11. You can do that, but it's what we call the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Faith. It's all full of, if you will, Bible characters that glorify God through their faith in God, not even having seen God yet. They didn't have the same advantage that you and I have from the standpoint of the Word of God, of a place to go in like this and get into the presence of God and let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's already living on the inside of us, bear witness again with what God is doing in the earth. And they had to totally and completely live by faith. But then the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And if we're going to be justified, we're going to have to live by faith too. Amen? We are the righteousness of God. How? In Christ Jesus. And He has made unto us righteousness. Praise God. So we're not righteous because of our own works. The Bible says we can't boast. We can't claim any of the things that we have done except obey God. And so these people having not seen God. But the Bible says, let's look at verse 33. It says, and through faith, Hebrews 11:33. It says, and through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness. You could say through faith. Through faith obtained promises. Through faith stopped the mouth of lions. Through faith, verse 34 says, quenched the violence of fire. Through faith escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. Look at this. Not accepting deliverance. Now that's a statement of faith right there, isn't it? All these things, these great things that the Bible talks about, of these men and women of God who stood in faith, who stood against the test, the trials, the torture, the things that they were afflicted with. We have no idea of the things that they faced in their time and the things that they went through. But yet God mentions them in this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And it goes, you know, it says that not accepting deliverance. Now we see that today in modern times. We see that through the Muslim religion. We see that through these terrorists, these people that call them Al-Qaeda and Talibans, you know, that will sacrifice their own life for the sake of their cause, of what they believe. The only thing is, they're believing wrong. They believe on the other side is those 70 virgins waiting for them. But how many know we got something greater than 70 virgins waiting for us? There is another level out there that is on the other side. And praise God, these people, sometimes they did not allow their life to get in their way of even making the sacrifice of what it took to stand in faith. I'd say that's some pretty strong faith there, amen? I'd say that's some pretty strong encouragement for you and I of the things that we face. Like the Apostle Paul said, these light afflictions. And how many know, if you read that chapter about his light afflictions, there was some pretty heavy-duty stuff there. I don't think any of you have ever been beat 40 times with a lash and a whip. I don't think any of you have ever been stoned to death. Come on. None of you took a nail in your wrist or your feet. Come on. You never been beat with a Roman whip. But Jesus did all that. The Apostle Paul and some early Christians did and went through all those things. None of us have been put in a lion's den, have we? None of us have been put in a fiery furnace, have we? We just have light afflictions. But yet sometimes we cower down, we bow down, and let the pressures of these things rob us and get us out of our race. And so he's going to talk to us about these things. Now let's read on here, and then I'll get to verse or chapter 12. It said that they might obtain a better resurrection. And let me just remind you again, they were operating under the old covenant. We're operating under the new covenant. The Bible says the new covenant is better because it's based on better promises. Remember, the old covenant was not lenient. You erred, you made an error. I mean, you got a stone in the face. Are you with me? There was no room there for error. But thank God for grace. Amen. Thank God we've all made some mistakes and we didn't get stoned for them. Come on, are y'all with me tonight? Thank God we've all fallen short of the glory of God, even after we got saved. How many of you have sinned at least once after you become a Christian? Okay, so I want to make sure I'm talking to the right bunch tonight. Yeah, we've all done some things, right? But what I'm trying to show you tonight is that when we allow these things to attach themselves to us, the Bible's going to talk to us here about letting them take us out of our race. And so, it says, still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, and yes, and of chains and imprisonment. It said they were stoned. They were, and I don't mean, you know, high on, that means those rocks, okay? Those big old rocks that they threw at them. All right, I just got to clarify that in modern terminology now. It says they were sawn in two we're tempted, we're slain by the sword. Somebody say, my. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, verse 39 says, having obtained a good testimony through what? Through faith, and did not receive the promise. What promise? They did not see the Messiah. They did not see Jesus. They did not see him come. But yet the promise was given, and they had to receive the promise through faith. Are you listening to me? See, it was counted righteous to Abraham because why? Because he believed God. And so that's what I'm trying to share with you tonight. You and I, if we're going to be people of faith, we've got to see it in the Word, and we got to believe it before we see it with the natural eye. Amen. These are examples of people who just took God at His Word and believed Him before they ever saw, and some of them never saw, the manifestation. But if I'm going to be persecuted, or if I'm going to die, or if I'm going to have to, you know, take some of the things that they went through, I'm going to do it in faith. If I'm going to die, I'm sure going to die in faith. I don't want to die without faith. You got to see that part of it. They got to see that side. We're faith people, amen. All right. It says, so all these things, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So the point is, they were martyred, and they look forward to being with the Lord. The Bible says that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Paul stated, and he had a, you know, he said one time, if you remember, he said, I'm in a situation here. I'm betwixt. I don't know whether it's better just to go on and die and be with the Lord or to stay here with you. He said, well, I believe it's better now that I stay here with you, because while I'm here, I can teach you about the Word of God. But he had a revelation that it was far better to go on and be with the Lord. He wasn't afraid to die. Amen. Thank God. I mean, thank God. We know that there's going to be a great, great awaiting for us when we enter the gates of the pearly white gates and we go to the other side, as they say. But how many know we're living right now? And that's why God has shown us these things, and God has made a way even to reap the benefits of living here in this life. Amen? All right. So, let's go on and read here. It says, God having provided, or He foresaw something that had not yet come to pass. In other words, they had to believe God before they ever saw it come to pass, because there was something there working. It was a work in progress. And so every generation was a generation closer to the manifestation that Messiah would come, that Jesus would come manifested in the flesh, and He would go to the cross on Calvary, and He would be crucified on our behalf, so that He could take all of our sin. And that's what it's talking about there in Isaiah 54 and Isaiah 53, where He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of His peace was upon Him. So you get into verse 12, or chapter 12, and it starts off with therefore, or in other words, in light of everything that we've set up to now, in light of all these people that He's going to call a great cloud of witness, it says, therefore, we also, since we were surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses. Now, who's the witnesses? No. Who's the witnesses He's talking about here in this chapter? Look at it again. Who's the cloud of witnesses? We're not witnesses in this sense. They are the ones we just read about in Hebrews chapter 11. That's the witnesses that obtained the promise by faith, that had not seen them, or some of them never lived to see them. The Abraham, the Isaacs, the Daniels, all that talk about the lion's den, talking about the three Hebrew children, talking about the woman who had her child raised, and so on and so forth. Those are the cloud of witnesses. They're standing, if you will, in the grandstands of heaven, watching you and I today as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're cheering us on. Listen to me. Think about this a minute. They're not up there cursing us. They're not up there, you know, saying, oh, how poor Decito, how you know. They're saying, come on, you can do it. Every time you fall, they're saying, hey, come on, get back up. Get back up. Every time you're afflicted, every time the devil comes to do his number, they're up there cheering that you can make it. They're not cheering because you stumble and fall. They're not like the people in the stands today. They're not like fans today. When you watch the football game and they make a mistake, I mean, they're cursing at them and they want them fired and they want the coach fired. Are you listening to me? They're not wanting us to be fired. They're not wanting to replace us with somebody else. They're up there egging us on that we can make it, praise God. That every time we get the ball, we can make a touchdown in life. Are you listening to me? So this is the cloud of witnesses that you and I are surrounded by. And they're up there with the angelic hosts and they're shouting and they're glorifying God. And they see us with such an advantage over what they had. They probably sometimes shake their head and wonder why so many people cave in. Why so many people give up. So he begins to tell us some things here. Actually, you're going to find out there's five things here that he talks about that are enemies to our faith. These people had what we call great faith, okay? And so it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. Now here it is. Every weight means all weight. And, notice what it says, and the sin. So if we're going to have an understanding of things that will keep us from the blessed life or the opportunities, we're going to have to understand what weights are. First thing you're going to have to take off of you is weights. Now, if you've ever tried to run, I'm talking about jog or run, and you have something on you as a weight, you don't run too far until you get tired. You put on a 50 or 60 pound pack on your back, you're not going to go too far till you're huffing and puffing. And you know, even when they train, even when track people train, what do? They put leg weights on. They put weights on them to train. And when they get ready to run the race, they take those weights off so that they feel light and they can run like lightning. Well, a lot of you have to understand what a weight is. A weight, here, listen to this. It means bulk. It means mass. It means a heap. It means arrogance. This is all the meaning here from the Greek word for weight. Conceit. Now listen to this one. The first one. Now here's a weight. First one. You say, what does that mean? Anything that you put ahead of God. If we're going to run our race, we're going to have to take off the weights. Now, let me stop and say something. The weight is different than the sin. Weight is not necessarily sin. It can become sin. There's a lot of things that we do that are not necessarily sin, but they take us out of the race. Are you following what I'm saying? So when it's talking about the first, see, there's a lot of people that are not here tonight. Thank God you don't qualify in that area. Because they had something else first. Think about that. A weight can be something that you put before God. Are y'all listening real good? Yes. Something that you put before God. See, it might be that, you know, you had to go return a Christmas present and this only night you could do it. sometimes the wait looks like this. Sometimes the wait looks like this. See, we can be our own wait. I'm just trying to show you. These are what it means by having weights that beset us. Come on, somebody. If you have a weight, okay, we're talking about things that will hold us back or keep us back from these new beginnings. How many of you want the new beginnings? How many of you want the opportunities, the new beginning, the fresh start? Well, he's telling us here that we're going to have to lay aside every weight. We've got to throw off, the Amplified Bible says, strip off, throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight. Throw away, strip off the things that will slow you down. Just common sense again tells us that if we're trying to run with extra weight upon our life, it's going to slow us down. The weight could be talking about your weight physical. That's why we need to fast every once in a while. Now, I know y'all, I know y'all don't like to hear talking about weight, but we're talking about the Bible. I said we're talking about the Bible weight. And sometimes it's our weight that slows us down because it affects our physical body. Try to serve God when you don't feel good. Try to serve God when you're fighting affliction, infirmities, and sickness and disease because you don't take care of the temple. Hello? You think you can just come and say, and confess? By his stripes I'm healed. I confess that all the time. But the Bible says the outward man's perishing day by day. So that means, yeah, I confess by his stripes I'm healed, and I believe that, and I release that. But you know what? If I'm eating chicharrones, and I'm eating, you know, all the ugly stuff that we're not supposed to eat, and come to the altar, maybe the anointing will give me a temporary release or temporary healing. But if I go back to doing the same old thing, then I'm going to be fighting something in my body. That's bringing destruction to it. See, these things are weights. I know you don't like to hear those things and don't hear a lot of, you know, we did our shouting last week. But if we're going to have a new beginning and we're going to take advantage of these opportunities, see, if we're going to run our race like these guys did, these guys and gals over here in Hebrews chapter 11, then we're going to have to take the weight off, whether it be physical things or other things. You know, what's weight sometimes to somebody may not be a weight to somebody else. See, Paul said that all things are lawful, but you know, not everything is sin. In other words, there are some things that are weights that take us and slow us down that are not sin yet. You know, it might be what you look at. It might be what, you know, if you're single, you don't want to go watch some hot, steamy, love-making, breath-blowing, you know, and you're sitting there, you know. Now, it may not be pornography. Now, if it's pornography, then you're really in bad shape. Are you listening to me? See, so that's what I'm saying. You don't do the things that double dog dare you and tempt you in situations, because everybody's got a breaking point. I said all flesh has got a weakness. Are y'all with me? So you can have things in your life that are not necessarily sin, but they're not healthy. I mean, you drink, you know, 6 Cokes a day and 5 Snicker bars, you know, that's not sin. But it's borderlining, and it'll turn into that if you let it bring obesity to you. Some people are, and some people take the position that they're not going to bar anymore. That's fine. But it's not a sin to borrow. It's not a sin to borrow. He said, you know, you shall be the lender. But the Bible also says that the borrower is subject to the lender. In other words, when you don't know how to control yourself, and you go out there and you charge on your credit card, you know, something that costs $200 and you can't pay for it, and it winds up costing you $600 by the time you pay it out, I mean, no, that's not wise. It's not control. So again, there's some people that know how to use a credit card. It's not wrong. It's not a sin. But if you don't know how to use it, it will affect you. It will slow you down. I don't have a problem with credit cards. I don't have a problem with charging something because I know I can pay for it when I charge it because I use it as a convenience. So that's not a problem in my life. In other words, you can't let what somebody has a conviction for be a conviction in your own life. There's a difference between conviction and what is right and what is wrong. Some people can't handle themselves when they're, you know, seeing everything their little beady eye looks at, and they got to have it. Okay? And get yourself in a big ball of wax. Get yourself in trouble. But there's other areas I got to look out for. There's other areas, see, that I got to make sure I don't get bogged down in, because if I do, they'll become a weight to me. Are y'all listening to me? Okay, so we got to make sure that none of these weights are attached to us. The point is that weight is different for every person. There'll be something that'll try to attach itself to you. There'll be something that'll try to strangle you. There'll be something that will try to weigh you down that won't weigh the other person down. He can run further with that situation because that's not tempting him. That's not a situation where it tries to control him and take him out of the race. So everything, listen to me, about the Word of God has to be worked in our life. Amen. When we work the Word of God, see, we have to want things to work, first of all. We have to believe things will work, but we've got to apply some action to it. It's those who want the most, I'm talking about want it the most, are the ones that will wind up receiving it. Think about it. Think about it in just natural things. Think about, just, there we go, this football again. The best team doesn't always win. And you hear them say, they were more hungry. They wanted it more. They may have had inferior players, but they wanted it more. See, what do you want from God? What do you want to do in your life? How do you want to make your life count for God? Do you want it bad enough? Do you want it real enough to apply not only faith, but corresponding action to your faith? Do you want health? Do you want wealth? Do you want to find out what it takes to live a blessed life, a life of abundance? Well, you're going to have to get in that Word. And you're going to have to work the Word in your life. Amen. And when you see it in the Word, then it belongs to you. But you got to see it in the Word and release your faith to get it so that it'll manifest in your physical life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Then he says, and oh man, 30 minutes. Okay, two more minutes. Let me just finish verse 1, okay? Let us lay aside every weight. That means all weight. And you know what they are, amen? I said you know what they are. You know what comes before God in your life. And you got to look at that. And it says, and the sin, which one? Well, I don't know about you. It says, the sin which so easily ensnares us. And it says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The word sin here means missing the mark. We know that. But it also means, it refers to a moral sense. That which is addictive or that which becomes your weakness. See, your weakness can turn into a sin. He's saying to lay aside the things, and this is the definition of sin, to lay aside the things that cause you moral failures. Now, again, if you look at what God says, go back and read like Proverbs chapter 6, for example, where it talks about the things that God hates, that He calls abomination to Him. Did you know most of those things that He talks about, the lying tongue, those that sow discord, is all talking about things we say with our mouth? See, again, we think of moral failure as people who steal or people who commit adultery, you know, those kind of sin, get into those kind of things. But, you know, God doesn't categorize sin. Hello? Do you understand that to be a person who gossips, that's a moral sin? What are you going to do about it? You got a caller ID. If you know that person is calling you to talk about somebody, say, I ain't talking to you. We're talking about laying aside the sin. Every way, the sin. I don't know what it is. I'm just talking about how many of you want the fresh start? How many of you want the abundance? How many of you want these blessings to manifest in your life? Well, He gives us five things, and you'll have to come back next week to get the rest of them. But He's talking about whatever it takes to get your life in position to win. Whatever it takes. That's what He's talking. That's what these people did. If you go back and read Hebrews chapter 11, all of them put themselves in position. They had to have endurance. That's what it means, patience, right? Because, you know, we don't always see the manifestation right away. Because we have to believe that we receive. Go ahead, brother. We have to believe that we receive, right? And so, there's the promise. Hello? There's the manifestation. One hand is the promise, and all the promises of God are what? They're yes and amen. And there's the manifestation. When we see it physically come to pass in our life. There it is. From the promise to there it is. Well, what's in between? The standing in faith. And so the enemy knows that the only way you can get to here is by faith in God. And that's why the writer of Hebrews, which we believe was the Apostle Paul, said we have to lay aside every weight. And the sin. The sin. See, not all of us are in adultery. Thank God. Not all of us are into pornography or addiction to drugs. But there's some other things that could put a hole in our faith. It could stop. And we want that fresh start. Amen. We want that breakthrough, abundant life. I want you to stand with me on your feet.